Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
days
of memory. Oh, what
joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, this morning as we come to you, we come, Father, lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with praise and honor, giving him all the glory. And we thank him, Father, for everything that he has done for us. And Father, as we open your word this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because, Father, we know that we have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But Father, we also know that we need the Holy Spirit because we get power from him, and we are to walk with that power. And with that comes all of the promises that's been given unto mankind. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service. We ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Going to be talking to you this morning, mainly from the 8th chapter of Romans. But, as everyone knows, we are living in the last days of this age. A lot of them are saying we're living in the last days of time. But what we need to be concerned with is this age. Because, you see, when our age that we're living in now ends, there's still going to be a few more years going on. Because when the Lord comes for his church, that stops our age. There'll be no more Gentiles saved. Because there'll be no way of salvation. Now we know that the Bible tells us that during the tribulation period, there's going to be 144,000 saved. And mankind is looking at that as, well, you know that we can still be saved. No. Because that 144,000 has nothing to do with you and I. That's for God's chosen people, the Jews. He tells us that. But you see, this is just how the church has got today. They're teaching everything but the truth. If the church would wake up and tear down the walls that they have built between them, we use the word denomination. What denomination do you teach? That's just a wall. Because they don't associate with another one. What we are supposed to be teaching is the apostles' doctrine, which is the Holy Bible. We're told that. His word tells us exactly that. He also told me that if I come preaching any other doctrine than what is written in this book, I'm cursed. That's why I keep letting people know, do you want to know what I preach? I teach the Bible. You can call yourself whatever you want. You can call yourself a Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, it don't matter. As long as you've got the Word of God and that you're standing on that and walking in the Spirit of Almighty God. But we need to all come together to where we belong to one church, His church. It don't matter the names we put up over the door or out on the sign in the yard. It's what's inside and what is being taught. And even more than that, what's being lived. Because you see, in order to walk with God and be what He wants us to be, we have to live what we teach. Because if we don't, we're not going to be teaching the truth very long. Because you see, God don't walk in deceit. That's Satan's work. So we're going to get here to verse 1 of chapter 8 now. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That verse right there is telling you the same thing that we were just now talking about. It's telling you that we cannot walk in the ways of this world out here. Especially the way it's going nowadays. We are to walk in the Spirit of Almighty God. And the only way you can do that is by fulfilling the plan of salvation. We all know what that is, because Acts 2:38 gives us that. And you see, even our churches today has paid very little attention even to the plan of salvation. And why? Because we've got too many standing today doing things they should not be doing and blaming it all on the Word of God. Because they want to twist and turn because they have no understanding of it and what it really means. You'll find very few churches today that are teaching you the right way even to be baptized. And most, even when they do baptize you, They don't tell you what's happening to you. If you don't know what's taking place, there's nothing taking place. That's why it's all in the Word of Almighty God. But you got these out here that are in the podiums today, baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In our day and time, in this age, that is doing nothing for you. That was one of the first things, long about 50 plus years back, that Satan got changed in the church. Went from baptizing you the right way to the wrong way. Because as long as you're baptized the wrong way, you're not going to receive the rest of the plan of salvation. What do you mean? Well, number one, when you look at the rest of the plan of salvation, what's it tell you? If you go over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when Peter quit preaching his message on the day of Pentecost, you see, that was when the church age started. It started on the day of Pentecost. The church age didn't start until the Holy Spirit came down to mankind. Now, he had finished preaching, and they asked him. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do to be saved? What can we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. That word repent means that you confess your sins and you turn away from them. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the whole plan right there in verse 38. Does it all happen at one time? Not very often. I don't know too many times in my lifetime that I've seen all of that happen at the same time. In fact, I can only remember one. I've told you all about that before, so I'm not going into that. But there's a reason to be baptized rightly. And to show you, because we got church after church out there telling you that just because you are baptized, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a lie. Here's what the Word of God says. Now, this same group that heard the apostles preach this message wanted to know what to do and all. We're going to drop over here to Acts chapter 8. We're going to start here with verse 12. It says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, now they had to have time to travel, and back then they traveled mostly on foot. Sometimes it'd be horseback or camel, the boat, but it took time. Wasn't like you and I traveling today, where we could get in a car and travel 50, 60, 65, 70 miles an hour, cover a pretty good distance in a short time. But he sent it to them, Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought they got that when they were baptized. We've just been told they've already been baptized. They haven't received that gift of the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Well, to go on with that, which I'm not going to, we find that where there's a man there that's wanting that kind of power, but he's wanting it for the wrong reason, and he ain't going to get it. When he's seen Peter and John lay hands on them people and them receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He thought he could buy it. A lot of people today is believing they can buy salvation. You can't. Salvation is a free gift. But anyway, he was offering them money, and he told them, said, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You can't purchase salvation nor any other gift of the Spirit with money. It all comes from walking in obedience and walking not after the flesh, as the first verse of Romans 8 says, but by walking in and after the Spirit of Almighty God. Going down to verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, we have still not learned today in most of our churches the difference between living under the law and under the Spirit and under grace. And when we go to telling people you can't live your life without sin in it, what we're trying to do is bring them back under the law. Because that's the way the law was. You see, their sacrifices and all that they made covered their past sins, but it couldn't take them away. It couldn't clean them from it. It couldn't give them the power to walk. Where? You see, under grace, you can. Because Jesus came and he prepared a salvation and a sacrifice that was clean and without sin, without spot or wrinkle, went to the cross and died, took on death so you and I could have life. And done away with all of that business. And we are to use him as an example. Oh, man can't live that way. Oh, yes, but you can. And you better. And we've got so many today that are not doing it. And we got too many standing in the podiums today that are living their life filled with sin that needs to be on their knees repenting unto God and getting filled with the Holy Spirit so they can teach his word. Because you see, as long as you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as you are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot understand this word. His word tells you that. And that's why I don't believe in a lot of things that's going on today in the church. That's why I've told several around this part of the country. They'll tell you. You can tell them you know me and they'll tell you, well, he's a little outlaw. Well, I am. To most of the churches, I'm an outlaw.
But not compared to when you were a kid.
But I'll tell them, I'm not going to sit under a woman pastor. Because the word done told her she can't be one. So what's she going to teach me? A bunch of stuff that comes actually from Satan, deceit. Oh, she'll use a verse here and a verse there, yes, to make you think that she's teaching you scripture. Satan knows the scripture. He knows it. And he knows how to twist and turn it. And today we're seeing an awful lot of it going on.
Same with the Bible verse that they change the Bible. They always put in there, to leave it in there, you add a word or you take away, right?
That's
they
right.
Take that out.
Yeah.
So they're condemning them, right? They're condemning them.
Yeah, we're not to add one word to it or take away from it.
They never change
it. We're supposed to teach it as it says and teach what it says. And you know, now we drop on down here to verse 3. He says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It's been condemned. God condemned it. He said, don't do it. Leave it alone. For he also goes on to tell us that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the only way you can live your life free of sin is by walking in the Spirit of Almighty God. And the only way you can do that is by studying his word and walking in obedience unto his word. If I walk contrary to his commandments, then I'm not serving him. So if I go out here and I get remarried and I come back here behind this podium as the pastor of the church, I'm not going to be able to give you truth, because I'd be living in adultery. And the word tells us no adulterer is going to go into the kingdom of God. Nor are they going to be able to understand this word. We got an awful lot of it going on in church today. I can take you to several churches within a 10-minute drive where the pastor's living in adultery. And it's a known fact. I mean, it's not even hid. But he and his whole congregation believes, oh, it's all right. Nothing wrong with it. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You see, as long as we're walking outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not looking for anything from the Spirit. We want the things this world has got out here. I want the best of cars. I want the best of homes. I want what my neighbor's got. And some even want his neighbor's wife. And we all know that's wrong. Now, you know, but now, I've been walking all my life in sin, but I don't want to sin no more. I want the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. But is my sin too bad to be forgiven? No. There's no sin too bad to be forgiven for except one. There's only one sin man cannot be forgiven for. And we're seeing some of that done today, too. And there's no forgiveness for that. But you can be forgiven for murder. You can be forgiven for adultery. You can even be forgiven for abortion. You can be forgiven for any type of sexual immorality. But the one you can't be forgiven for is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. What does that mean? To blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That word blaspheme, the definition for that is to curse the Spirit, to reject the Spirit, and to deny the existence of the Holy Spirit. And we've got an awful lot of that going on today. We got these churches out here that are telling you those gifts of the Spirit don't work anymore. They died, that all died when the apostles died. No, it just started, actually. Really. The only reason we're not seeing it today is because we haven't got enough backbone in the churches to get it going. And man's not wanting to put in enough time with the Lord. and seeking the power of the Holy Spirit so he can do it. Because you see, on our own, we can do nothing. The only thing we have got the power to do is to make a choice of either serving the Lord Jesus Christ or to serve Satan. But as far as the power to change our lives, we can't do it. Not on our own. A lot of them think they can. That real change won't come on you until you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus, in talking to Nicodemus, back in the third chapter of John, the Gospel of John, when he told him that we had to be born again, that no man could enter into the kingdom of God without being born again. Well, you know, when I got baptized, I was born again right then. I was filled with the Holy Spirit right then. Well, we just found out better, didn't we? We just read a few minutes ago where that don't always happen. My life changed in 1966 when God healed this body of mine. Put me back in it. Because I had been dead. I'm one that he raised up, put back in this body. But you know, even with that, I wasn't yet complete. Because it was years down the road before I ever got the Holy Spirit within. I had to do an awful lot of years of study knowing God's Word, because I had been taught wrong so many years, because I was raised in the church. But the church I was raised in was one of them that preached, you can't live without sin in your life. That there is none perfect, no, not one. And you know that's written in the Bible? It is. It's written in the Bible. There's none perfect, no, not one. But they took that verse out by itself to prove what they were saying. They didn't read the rest of it because it went on to let you know what they were talking about. Because you see, we can't reach that perfection until we have that Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And then that's when the real change in your life takes place. Oh, now, Pastor, you're wrong there. No, that just ain't true. Well, yeah, most of you've heard me preach it time after time, but you're going to hear it one more time, because there's some out there listening that hasn't heard it. What happens when you're born again? What really happens when you're born again? Does your life really change? And does that allow me to go ahead and commit them same old sins over and over and go to Jesus, ask him to forgive me, and he'll just keep doing it? In the third chapter of 1 John, I'm going to begin with third verse because I want to keep everything in context. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. How can I get pure? We're going to find out. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Oh. Well, now my preacher told me that everybody sins. We all just got to have sin. That ain't what this is it? Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Uh-oh. I'm a child of God. According to God's word, I ain't. But I've got sin in me. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You can walk like Jesus walked. And that's the way you better be walking when you step out of this life and into the next. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh. For the devil sinneth from beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now we're going to find out what happened when we're born again. Whosoever is born of God, that's what happens when we're born again. We're being born of God. And whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, that Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness, is not of God. Think about it. Now, are you really born again? Or are you still walking with sin in your life? If you're walking with sin in your life, you ain't born again. And you better get that way. You better start having time and getting deeper into the Word of God and spending time with him. Going and getting in your closet on your knees, humbling yourself, and spending time and talking with him. He'll talk to you. And he'll talk to you sometimes in ways that'll really shake you up. I'll never forget some of my first times of him talking to me. Coming to me with a vision. Showing me things. Coming to me in a dream. Showing me things. And then let me start to say a word and change the word on me. Tried my best to quit praying. Scared to death. Knelt down at that church there at the platform, and I went to pray in English, and I went to say one word, there's another one come out. I went to say a different word, another one come out. Now I'm really shook up. I'm trying to quit. I'll just quit praying. It ain't working. Something's wrong. The harder I tried to quit, the harder I prayed. Didn't know anything I prayed for until later. Turned around, sat down on that platform, and went to say a word, and there was a different word come out. Both words were English. Went to say another word, a different word come out. It just started rolling. One of the most beautiful poems I ever heard, God gave to me. Scared me to death. No telling what I looked like if she'd have been there. Went in and laid down on my bed. God come to me in a vision. Gave me a vision of this church. Church was growing. It was full of people. They were building an addition onto it and all. That went away. This church come back. When it come back to me in this vision, all the windows was boarded up. And I had the door boarded with a padlock on it. Closed. The Lord told me to go and talk to the pastor of that church, which was Brother Chapel. There in Florida. And tell him what I've seen. And then he told me, he said, and tell him this. And he told me what to tell him. Well, I was already in trouble with his wife because I had preached a service at his church once. And the message that God had me preach at his service that time was strictly against what that church believed. After services was over, one of the deacons came to me, told me, he said, Brother Tony, you kind of hard on our pastor today, wasn't you? I told him, I said, I don't know, was I? Well, you just preached against everything he preaches for. Well, I seen this lady sitting way back in the back looking at me, and if looks would have killed you, I'd have dropped dead up there preaching. She walked by. I asked this deacon, I asked him, I said, who's that lady? He said, that's the pastor's wife. Well, I knew right then why I was getting the looks I was getting. And here God's got me going to this man's house, telling him about a vision that he don't even believe in. They don't believe in visions. And you know, when I pulled into that church, I parked right by the side of that church, never looked at it. Didn't even know the name of that church, what it was. What kind it was. It was Independent Fundamental Baptist. That's what it was. But anyway, I went to his house. I just got up off the bed and started through the house. My wife asked me, said, honey, where are you going? I said, I got to go see him, ma'am. And I went up and knocked on the door. His wife come to the door. She didn't even speak to me. I just asked her, she opened the door, and I asked her, I said, Brother Chapel here? She called him. He come to the door, he said, come on in. I said, no, you come out here. I knew she didn't want me in the house. So he come on outside. I told him, I said, I got something to tell you. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but it's between you and the Lord. He gave it to me and told me to come and tell you. I told him about seeing his church full, an addition being built onto it, and about seeing it boarded up and closed. And then I told him, I said, he told me to tell you that if you would go to the church and pray about the prayer you've been praying, you'd receive your answer. I turned around to leave. He said, well, would Would you come go with me? I said, no, he didn't tell me to.
Good morning.
Morning. I told him, I said, he didn't tell me to.
Morning.
Good morning.
So, anyway, he said, I'll follow you down, and he did. He got his answer. He changed his life. In less than a month, they was putting a 40-foot addition onto that building, and they were standing room only in that church. His brother Chapel's church right there in Newport Richie. Do you know where that little church was? God will work with you if you'll work with him. But you got to quit all of this messing around and playing church. And playing at being a child of God. You either are or you're not. And he knows. You can fool man. Most of the time. You can't even fool mankind all the time. But most of the time you can fool him. But you don't fool God. There's nothing hid from him. Every thought you think, he knows. And everything we do. And it's time that we take the walls down from the church. And the church needs to come together and repent. And join together and become one church, the Lord's church. It doesn't matter what name's out front. As I said earlier, over the door or out on that sign. You can put whatever name out there you want. But it's what's inside that church, what's behind that podium, what is being taught in that church. Is it Bible? And most, it's not. Most of it is not Bible today. Oh, yes. Like I say, a verse or two will be. And they'll take and add to that, take away from it, until they make it say what they want it to say instead of what it says. As we was reading before. And right now, most of us know. We know these churches out here that's telling you that just because you've been baptized in water, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We know that's not so. We just read it, didn't we? In his word. Not mine, but his.
I was baptized wrong 3 times.
Huh? I was baptized wrong twice. It took the third time to get it done right. But you see, most of the churches today are still baptizing wrong. And they're not even telling you what is happening when you are baptized. Most people don't know what happened to them when they were baptized, which means actually nothing was. When you don't know what's happening, there's nothing going to happen. So what really happens when you're baptized and you're baptized right? You see, they take you out here, you've repented, you've asked God to forgive you your sins. They say, well, now you need to be baptized, which is right. But they take you out there, they take you in the water, and they baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They took you in there, a dry center, and brought you out a wet one. For being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost ain't the right way to baptize. Oh, you're wrong. No. What did we just read? You see, since the day of Pentecost, since the day the Holy Spirit has been sent back to man, the church age began. And under the church age, the one that paid for you was the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his name Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Now, but what happened? Most of your churches don't even teach you that. But here's what happens when you're baptized. You find this in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? When I lay you back in that water, I'm burying you with him. You're putting on his death and his burial. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When I raise you up out of that water, I'm bringing you up in his resurrection. And your life is supposed to start changing. If you have been sincere, your life does start changing. But you're not through yet. You haven't completed that plan of salvation until you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. Because without that gift of the Holy Spirit, you can't walk a righteous life by yourself. You can't do it. And we know that. And I just read what happened when we were born again a few minutes ago to you. Said when we're all born, when you're born to God, what happens? You cannot sin because his seed remains in you. And you cannot sin because you're born of God. That's his word, not mine. You see, without the Holy Spirit, I can't preach. I ain't smart enough. I didn't go to school to learn how. Little old country boy with an eighth grade education that done about everything wrong that could be done wrong. Mulked in all kinds of sin. Till the good Lord got a hold of me. But you know, in and out of the hospital, had enough days in the hospital to build 5 long years because of the Korean conflict. Give up for dead 3 times. The last time sent home to die within 2 days. Had a house full of kids and a wife. Put to bed, had to be turned with a sheet. Couldn't even turn over by myself. Spot comes in the corner back there, and I'm laying there in the bed. I see this shadow back there, and I'm thinking, what's causing that shadow? And I'm trying to look around to see. It keeps coming closer and getting bigger, coming closer and getting bigger. So it took on the shape of a figure. Walks up and gets me by the hand. Turned with me. Nothing said, just turned with me and walked off with me. I walk out of that house looking down on my body. We're in this valley. Oh, it was a beautiful valley. Let me tell you something. That 23rd Psalm is a beautiful place. That valley is beautiful. Walking lengthways through it. The trees and flowers on both sides. Wasn't afraid. Still nothing being said. Get to the end of it. We see a chair sitting there like a king sits in. Walked up in front of that chair and stopped. This figure holding me by the hand. This figure appeared in his chair from the head down. Where the head should have been was a ball of light, tremendously bright. Now I go to crying, trying to pull away. He ain't letting me go nowhere. Still nothing said. I begin to see features of the face start. When that started, there was a voice went to speaking from behind me. I couldn't understand anything it said, but it spoke for a time. When it stopped speaking, this figure holding me by the hand turned with me. We started away. When we started away, we'd taken just a few steps, and the voice spoke to me from the throne and told me, says, you have 1 year. No trip back, just immediately I was back in my body. A body that had been completely healed. It was completely healed. My wife come in, I told her, I said, honey, I want my Bible, I want the door shut, I don't want nobody in this room till I call you. Because I was I took things like most men take things. He's given me a year to get everything straight and fix for my family. Now I'm going to die. But he also called me into the ministry that day, the same time. 2 weeks later, think about this. Here I am, a young man had been in that kind of shape. But to get back to where I was, I told you they'd put me to bed in that kind of shape. Hour and a half later, I'm sitting in the living room on the couch talking to my mother and dad. And the next morning at 7 o'clock, I was on a ladder painting the doctor's house that sent me home to die. You see, I was painting his house when I went in the hospital. Very next moment, he come out and throw the fit. You can't do this. You do this, you're going to be dead before dinner. Well, maybe so, but if I am, it won't be flat on my back. But that year made me do a lot of thinking. That whole year, I was wondering, Lord, have I done enough now to, have I got everything ready where I can leave? But that year, because from 2 weeks from the day that I was put to bed in that kind of shape, I was 1,200 miles away from home preaching a revival. I was living in Florida, and I was back here in Louisville. Upon Market Street in the church, preaching a revival. Had no idea of how to preach. No idea of even how to hold a service. The revival was supposed to last a week, and it took me 30 days before I got it closed out. And you know, my last message was on women in the church. One of the old pastors I had up on the platform with me there, because my church by this time was packed. He asked me, he said, have you met the pastor of this church? I said, no. He said, well, come on, I'm going to introduce you to the pastor. When I asked for preachers, the pastor of the church didn't come up with the rest of them. He took me out and introduced me to one of the cutest little colored girls you ever seen. She looked up at me and she said, you know, I didn't know that was in there. I just looked at her and I told her, I said, well, you know it now. I got home. 2 weeks later, I got a letter from her. And she told me and I said, Pastor Tony, I am no longer the pastor of that church. My associate pastor was my fiance, and he is now the pastor of the church. You see, when we don't give people the truth, we're not doing them right. At the very moment, and while I was preaching that service, she wasn't too happy about it. But it straightened her life out. Just like with the young lady that come in, sat down on the front row with a micro mini skirt on, and kept sitting there crossing her legs. No, she wasn't covered up. I stopped my service, told them, I said, God, young lady, can't keep yourself covered up. When she covers herself up, I'll get back with a message. She got up and left. Deacon of the church told me, said, you run her off. I said, no, I didn't. Spirit did. She come back the next week dressed right, gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. This has been years ago, and as far as I know, she's still in that church today. But you don't tell them the truth, they don't know. It's not because I don't love them, because I do. If I didn't love them, I wouldn't care whether they got the truth or not. Just like with your women preachers. They say you're against women. That's what they tell me. No, I'm not. We used to have a church full. But I want her to know what God wants of her. He's got her work cut out for her. And pastoring a church is not one of them. You cannot find nowhere in this Bible, nowhere in this book will you find where he told her she could be a pastor. He told her she couldn't be. 1 Timothy 2nd chapter. He said, I did not call a woman to teach nor usurp authority over man. That word usurp, look it up. It means allow or permit. He said, I did not. I do not allow or permit her to do it. Then you go to 1 Corinthians. He gets even stronger over there in the 14th chapter, telling her about how she should dress, how she should be, and that she's supposed to be silent in the church. Now, he's not talking about you talking to one another in the congregation, things that way. He's talking about up here. Nobody tells you you don't know, do you? That's like he tells me and you, and you. You ain't got a short time.
We'll put you out. We'll make you the big man up here.
He's got just a couple more months.
Yeah.
He's got full 8 years.
The rookie season's about over.
But he tells us what he expects from us. In 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. As pastors. He tells us what we can be, what we can't be, what we can do, what we can't do. Oh, now, surely not. Oh, yes, he does. Well, let's just go see. 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter. Then we'll have to close out. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop is a pastor. A bishop then must be blameless. Uh-oh. I thought he had to have a little sin in him. Everybody got to have a little sin. No, he's got to be blameless. The husband of one wife Well, he can't have two living wives or three or four. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient and not a brawler, and not covetous. That don't leave much, does it?
Pretty narrow walk there.
That's right. He brings us down to a very narrow walk. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. That's why you send your kids to church. Now they get older, get grown, get away from you. You might get blamed for sending them. You might send them to you. You know, I don't go to church because you made me go when I was at home. Yep. Because I was supposed to. And that's why I did it. Now, because he don't know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. It's got to be learned. Least being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Least he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That's why you hear me teach so much that we have to love everybody. That sinner out there, we've got to love that sinner. We don't love the sin he does.
Amen.
But we have to love the sinner.
Yeah.
Because that's the way we can reach that sinner. And with that, we're going to get ready and close out. Felt you a little long this morning. But you know me, I don't put no limit on it. And but before I have my closing prayer, Kenny, you going to speak for me tonight?
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, for the saints, wherever they are in this world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Father, for this land of ours, this land, Father, that has walked it so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They've taken him out of every place he was in. They have no excuse for it whatsoever, Father, but they've done it. And Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to help us to remove from office all of those that are against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to replace them with ones, Father, that will stand with the church and with Jesus and work with us to put this land back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for our prayer list this morning, as each name is spoken, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob. For Dennis, Father, for my daughter Cindy and all of my family. For my wife, Father, and all of her family. And Father, for Sister B, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, for the brothers in Christ, Aaron Brandenburg, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, for Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. These pastors, Father, I pray that they are walking close to where they are filled with the Holy Spirit. For this young man, Will, that's been ordained, I pray that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and he's the pastor you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We put them in your hands. In that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge, Father, where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, for Pastor Barak Mishai, for Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, Father, for the Lee family, for my wife's family and mine, we ask Heavenly Father that the Holy Spirit work within these families to see that none are lost and those that are walking in darkness can be led to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Jim Taylor, for Casey Smith, for Henry Craycroft, for Kelly Smith and his wife. Father, all of these, they stand in need of a touch from the healing hand of Jesus. And Father, touch them in a great and mighty way so that they'll know that it is you and not man. Now be with us, Father, as we prepare to separate to go our own ways throughout the remains of this day. And bring us together again tonight, Father, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, when once again we'll be back into the Word. So until then, everyone have a great day and walk with him. He will walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And God bless.
All right.